Psalm chapter 40 and verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside unto lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of this book, it is written of me. I will delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within mine heart. There's one verse I'd like to even say it unto you again. He brought me up out of an horrible pit. If it wasn't bad enough, you read on to that next comma. He didn't only just bring me out of a horrible pit. Look at that next comma. And out of the miry clay. And he set my feet on a rock. And he established my goings. I was brought up in a home, my ma's here tonight. I was brought up, my mother and father, they weren't saved at that time, but we were brought to attend where the gospel was being faithfully preached at that time. Now, even from a young age, I did not want to hear the gospel. There's a few places, if you don't want to hear the gospel, you don't really go. The first one would definitely be the Free Presbyterian Movement, and the other one would be the Gospel Hall. Now, I was brought there, I think it was about 10 o'clock in the morning, we were ready in the morning, there was a wee man called Mr. Smith, and he brought us faithfully every time, and there was a wee man called Mr. Wright, and he had to try and break all these wee hard nuts to tell them the gospel, but from that age I did not want to hear the gospel. In fact, anything to do with discipline, as my ma probably tell you, I didn't want to hear it too well. But after the Sunday morning and the Sabbath school, then we were brought along to church in Lurgan. Back in them days, it was George's Street. So it was in the afternoon after that there. Then we were brought to the Sunday school in the Free Presbyterian Church in Lurgan. After that, we were brought to the service at night time. So if you didn't want to hear the gospel, we were sent four times during the day, and during the week we were sent to a wee charity's meeting. We were sent to any of the wee God-fearing meetings, we were sent to it. So from a very young age it was put on the heart of my mother and father to send us out for to hear the gospel, as it was in them days. Sadly, we have in these days, and there's people born again of the Spirit of God, and they're not sending their young ones out. And it'd be kind of funny if I would say to my father, I'm not going out. I know what'll happen. He would give me a thick ear. I would say, you're going out, boy. So you are. But he said that in love, to send you out. But I knew where my father stood. So things went on. I was brought up in Rurd, in a wee place called City in Donaghcloney there, addressed between Lurgan and Banbridge on Donaghcloney. If you know it, it's a very tight wee place. Everybody knew every thing. So if you'd done something wrong, it probably would have got back to my ma and fa, or did you hear about such and such doing such and such. From a very young age, I was looking to act a leg in school, as we would call it. And our mind were moved to the new school up on the hill. And I mean, there was a teacher, and she gave off to me, and I says, "Well, dare you into my heart?" And the anger got into my heart, and I took a half a brick, and I threw it through the window. I went through the window, and I just missed the teacher his head, thankfully. But Jordy Walker and Andy Watson, partner in crime, went round the corner. It was a new school, and we dove around. Says there's nobody at this side of the school, so we darted round the side. But unfortunately, that was the side of the staff room. So all of the teachers were looking out, and the teacher came in screaming the head off, saying about Jordy Walker and Andy Watson clawing the brick through the window. It near missed them. So of course, the next day, I'm sure my mum didn't read up, and I'm sure she'll never forget it, that they were called up to the school. And I'll never forget it. My ma was called up in the shirt. I'm sure my ma, as well as me, got the third degree. And I'll never forget it, because there was a wee woman called Mrs. Todd, was my teacher. She's the organist in Lurgan. But what do you call it? I remember her scalping my backside with a hard-soled slipper. I think the implant was still there yet. And then the next one we got hit with was the teacher that we clawed at, and then of course we got hit by the headmaster as well. At that time when I went home, even my ma hit my clip, and my dad came home after 7 o'clock from a shift work. I got hiding there as well, so my rear end was like a lighthouse for a fortnight, so it was, and I deserved every bit of it. But what it kind of taught me to do is try not to be caught next time. But I knew that I had done wrong. So it's powerful, the stillness. Sometimes I was thinking about it, and I do laugh and I joke about it. But I think of still of the people that prayed for me from a young age. But it's powerful how from a young age you can be taught to do things. It's all innocent at the start. But it's powerful how the rebellion against the teacher went on a wee bit far. So it did. So then, as time went on, the wickedness got a wee bit worse. Now the things went on, and of course you started swearing, taking the name of the Lord in vain. Wee things like that there is only just a seed of what the devil wants to do in your life. You don't see it from a young person. But believe me, that's what the devil wants. He wants to take you away from any influence for Satan or for any good, and for to really trounce your name. So when things went on a wee bit more, of course, just at the end of primary school days, it went on, and it was nicking the things, and one of the first things was cigarettes. So get into cigarettes from a very young age. It was only a few at the start, trying to hide them from ma and fa. So it was, you know, the old things like smoking a cigarette, and you get an old fur tree and you rub it on your fingers, and you eat your pull them in, so it wasn't for the taste of them. It was just for to hide the smell of it. You see, the devil's trying to say, it's all right, you hide it and you'll be all right. So then it went on that wee bit far. The drugs started taking, and that was only the first or second year in high school. It was marijuana. Again, it was what they call just something light drink. Started happening from an early age, just nicking the odd drink, just trying to be the big fella. So it is again trying to hide it from mom and fa, because especially if my fa would have known, he would have used my rear end like a lamb bag. She had just tried to hide it away from it. But you know, there's one person that you can't hide your sins from, and that's the Lord. You know, you can't hide a thing, even your thoughts. In fact, your thoughts of even what you're going to do, the Lord knows it. Do you know that tonight? Maybe you're a young person. I was sitting in the barn. I couldn't wait till I get out of it. Never forget, even from one of the times, remember, I don't know why my ma minds it or not, I went in early, which was shocking for me, because I didn't want to be there in the first place, but there was a reason I went in, and I went in to nick their money. I went in to the back, and I nicked the money, and I went down to Victor down at the front, and I bought a big bag of sweets. So I come up, pleased as punch, smell like a Cheshire cat, of the sin that I had done. I came up and I was pleased with my bazooka bubbly gum and all the rest. Half a bag of sweets goes out. And I says, where'd you get that from? I'll never forget what you call one of the wee brethren men that were hardy iron men, but they need to be for boys like us. And they came round and they rapped onto the front door. I'll never forget that night. And where'd you get that money from? I don't know. There's lace. There's the start of the lace starting. So of course they knew, because they got around the Donnacloney. I had Geordie come in not long after. It was in the middle of your meeting or just after your meeting. Do you know that? So they put two to two together and they got it right that I had nicked the money. I'll never forget it. He drew out his hand and he hit me a clip in the air. And you know something? I needed it. So it was one of these times of, you know, stealing as well from a house of God. So things went on later on in the high school. It began to come when it was put on things called personal reports. You weren't allowed anywhere without the presence of a teacher, because if I had not anybody, I was doing evil and wicked things. Like the first time they thought they would trust me, I went to the Bar and Mall show. I'll never forget it. I went and I ran away from the teachers. I went into the bar, and the people behind the bar were that daft too. They were feeding me with drink, and I got drunk on that day. So from that day on, it was close as like a personal arrest every time I went into school. It was bad enough for me going because I didn't want to learn anything. But it's part of the only thing that you don't want to learn, and that's the thing you learn. You don't have to teach a child mischief. And that was the thing that was growing and growing in my heart. So things went from what was bad to worse. Got into fighting, so it did. Got into training for kickboxing. I got training in for a few times for about two or three different martial arts. Some of the first ones was I went along with my bra, but that got me into fighting, thinking I was a big lad, because I was only two hands higher than a duck and I needed for the kind of half defended myself. So I got into for the fighting, and it didn't matter why you were 6 foot high and 6 foot wide, I would have took you out. I had no fear of man. No matter what size they were or what they thought they were, I would have took them out. But I had no fear of God. So thing went on from bad to worse. I went into the Portydown football club, and I was a season ticket holder there for about 9 years. That brought me closer in with a few of the other boys that you don't want to be in mulling about. And it was evil and wicked things that were involved with. More or less drinking, drugs, taking it on, trying to hide it from your parents. Trying to hide it. But then things started to change. Ma and Fa went out to mission. And now our house, you can't treat it with a wee bit of respect. And my Fa would have put you in your place, or in your box, as a man would say. And so it was a very orderly house. I remember even Keith went and bringing in drink, and my father wasn't too long before he took it out and put down the sink and all the rest of it. And there was no drink allowed in the house, there was no smoke allowed in the house, but still we thought to keep it out of the house and we'll do whatever. But there was a difference. Mum and Dad went to a mission, and to cut a long story short, they got saved. There was a difference. Then even the old boy like me, who wanted to be old in the things of the world, didn't want to see this or any form of discipline, but there was a difference. They had a strength that wouldn't have been talked out loud, but they had the power of God that was brought into the house. It was a thing I remember. Now and again, you would have popped my head out around the corner for my dad, because me and my dad, he had the same kind of wit as me. He'd more well-mannered. He was a wee bit on the rougher side, but still lacked the crack on the joke with my fa. But one thing that always stuck out in my head, when I popped my head round for see how he'd keep and all the rest of it, he was always sitting with his wee brown hardback Bible and he was reading it. And he was always reading it. So we knew that Mum and Dad was praying for our two boys. Thought probably he'd never see the day that they would be saved. And then from us, like I say, that these influences started coming into the house. Conviction started for the very, very first time. I was very, very good at treating Mum and Dad bad and others wickedly, even in violence. Didn't care what it was, arms, legs, nose, broken. It wouldn't even have caused me a thought of worry. Absolutely no worry of putting two or three boys on the ground with limbs left, right and center. It wouldn't even have caused me a thought. I had no conviction. But there was a few things started happening. The Lord can move mightily. through even the prayer of a faithful saint who maybe think their prayers aren't being answered. So don't you give up in praying. Maybe you think you're weak in praying. The weakest soul that prays to God, I can put the fear into the devil. I can move mountains. If you even have the faith, or even as a mustard seed. We see what's happening down south. People being saved. Couldn't get over 5 people being saved this week. People going out for outreach. There's 23 coming to this meeting. Brand new ones. 27 and the next one, brand new ones coming underneath the sign of the gospel. And we bemoan ourselves when we go out for outreach and we wonder why 1 or 2. But you think of our thoughts. Why is these people not coming out? That's between the Lord. Wake up. Don't bemoan the Lord's movement. Stay faithful to God. Pray unto that holy fill from whence comest our help. And you think of the most impossible position. The Lord can bring revival and reformation. Look what happened in the dark ages. We see the strength of Pope. You even said a word and you were burnt at the stake. We don't have that. See the amount of revivals that has even happened in the hopeless situation. See over there, the ma got saved, and one of the family ones got saved, and then the other 3 got saved the next night. That's what can happen if we just pray and not let go. But things went on, I never forget an old mate of mine was on a motorbike and he was flying out the road and he went into a tree. And it was, I remember hearing it going about the cloning about him on the motorbike being killed, and it struck a chord with me. And it's the first time saying about, and the gospel, Sunday school, and again they're saying, the word started to get through. For years and years I didn't want to hear, but then the light started getting through. Mrs. Todd was always still faithful, and she says one of the first places where I heard the gospel, conviction again started happening onto my heart. It was an amazing thing. I remember my bra even coming up to me, asking me about the things of God. And I've no way of a heart for to speak onto these things of God. The conviction that came onto my heart was unbelievable. There's too many things to say. We've only got now about 5 minutes. I'm probably going to get a kick here. So I better keep on going here. But conviction happened. This is about one after another. Left is like a boxing match, like a 1-2, and I started coming on more and more. Started looking for the things of God. Then the godly men, I did not want to meet them because I knew what was going to happen. One was a sincere, probably one of the most sincerest wee men I know, and that's the Reverend Crane. My mom and father took us out to the Truth for Youth holidays. That was a week. Spent out in various places around Wales and the south of England. So to cut a long story short, I was fooling about and remember one of them, and of course I got out up onto the roof. I think it was 4 or 5 stories tall, and I was looking tall. I'm not telling you what I was doing. I was trying to get to the outside of the hotel. So it was, and just at that time, the boy shone up the flashlight. Right, the police have been notified, and the neighbourhood watch scheme have let us know, and the police is going to be here. Come you down here now, and we'll get you sorted. So I didn't know I was going to be arrested or not, and I said, there's 2 chances you trying to catch me. So I took off like a greyhound, and I went flying through a window. Just after that there, there's no man that can fly like a greyhound. That's the Reverend Crane. You'll see that man move when he can. And he came up after me. He had to go round the whole of the hotel just to get up where I was. And he came in through the door. He literally came through the door. I'd never seen the Reverend Crane like that. But he came through the door. And to cut long story short, they were looking us all out of the hotel. They're looking at empty. There was 50 of us there on holiday for a week. And I said, what the whole lot? And you see that? They were talking about me. Get that boy out. I said, get the whole lot of you out. We don't want that on. So what a testimony was coming on. The hardness of what the Reverend Crane, Mrs. Crane was crying her lumps out, and the Reverend Crane, his heart was full of worry and all of the rest of it. And such distress I had brought on Mrs. Crane and the Reverend Crane. Conviction started breaking through to my heart. So it did. Where I had made the Reverend Crane and Mrs. Crane cry for many and many a time. But things were going to start to happen in Geordie Walker's life. So it went on, and it was in 1990, Well, it was coming up, but of course, I brought drugs with me, and I was just looking to mess about and for to fly up the town and do whatever I could do. But this night, it was just a night of testimony. Just a night of weak Christians coming before the Lord. Is there such a thing? Not when you come in the name of the Lord. No way. Because I tell you what, I was never beaten in a fight. I was never knocked down. But that night, I was knocked down. And the fear of God came in my heart. One girl got up and she spoke with a trembling voice. A person, I would have faithfully said this here, that an ordinary person would have said, that's a load of tripe. What is that? That's so weak. But you see, when it comes with the power of God, I'm telling you, it knocked me off my feet. It got me worried like I'd never have been worried before. Another young girl got up and she spoke her testimony. Again, just a good wee girl. Some people would call her weak in words. That's what I mean by weak, by the way. I don't mean weak in their fear. But they went on, and the fear absolutely gripped me. I turned around to the mate and I says, I need to get saved. Now, as many people as been always praying for me, and I was used to pulling their leg and yanking their chain and all the rest of it. So I was used to doing wicked things, especially spiritually. And your boy turned around and said, aye, dead on, no boy. And then an old fella got up, and then that was just it. He spoke his testimony. He says, I have to get saved now. So I turned around to the mate and I says, look, I've got to get saved. I said, where are you going to go and get somebody? He says, I need to go and get saved now. And he said, aye, great, dead on, Jordy, aye, no ball. And I took him and I gripped him with a scruff of the neck. And I seen the tears start to go through me. I wasn't a person that shed tears lately, I can tell you. In fact, with the conscience was on my head, but in older days, wouldn't have shed a tear over anything. But this night was different. The Lord was moving in the strength of his people, giving testimony on the saving grace. So that time I goes around, I see the wee man go around the car. I say, see that wee man? I says, I want to speak to that wee man. He says, I need to be brought to the Lord. That wee man was Reverend Tom Martin. I says, I need to speak to wee Tom. So I remember hearing this too, that Tom says, aye, right there on, Jordy Walker, aye, we've heard this before, you know, trying to, they thought I was going to act the leg again. When he came around the corner, I'm sure he seen the tears that was in my eyes. My eyes was open spiritually for the first time that I began to see things I did not see before. I seen people that was weeping for their God that night. I believe it. In fact, I'm 110% there was a revival in that wee meeting tonight. That night, because I looked to the left and there was people crying. I looked to the right and there was people crying. I went out past the bar that was shut, and I looked at the bottom of the stairs. There was people crying. Wee Tom Martin was bringing up the stairs. I don't know if it was Reverend Tom I said it to, or the Reverend Crane. He said, what is wrong with people around here? He said, you're just a movement of God. So he began seeing things for the first time. Went up and wee Tom and Reverend Crane led me to the Lord. The saving grace had broke through a hardened heart that many people thought would never even crack or not. But you know, the Lord God is a hammer that can break any stone. He can break a rock. In fact, he can cleave a mountain in two. Never mind a rock. He can cleave a mountain in two. That is how powerful our God is. I wonder if you don't know the Lord as your own personal Saviour. Maybe you think you're a hard nut like me. You just come to church just to pacify somebody. That's what he was doing. With some crack, if I said, my father, like I said, I'm not going to church, you give me a thick air. But I tell you what, you see, when God moves, that's what can break the heart. But you know, I went and I got saved. Remember the first thing I did, I said, I need to phone my ma and dad. And I phoned, I'm sure my ma near fell off her perch that night. I phoned my ma, I said, I've got saved. So I have come to know the Lord as my own and personal Saviour. But there's a few things I want to speak to you, and I don't want to keep you too long, but it's really been laid on my heart. So it has. He says, take as long as you want. I hope you're going to get your breakfast, never mind your supper. Praise the Lord. But what has been laid on my heart is how the Lord leads God's people I've been talking to the people of God around. You know something? Sometimes they're the biggest stumbling stones in our churches. They want to speak to you. Say, did you hear about such and such? How do I know this? Because I used to be one of them. I said, did you hear about such and such? Stop that. Take it to the Lord in prayer. It's to keep in the closet. There's many people and things you see on the internet and you see the newspaper. Take it to the Lord in prayer. What can an editor of a paper do unless you're proclaiming in a holy and a righteous manner before God? But there's many things that's out there and it should not be done. If people were praying as much as they were yearning, there'd be revival tomorrow. I believe that. What is happening over in the Republic? We go on outreach to... In fact, we don't go... I'm sure the reference all know what I mean when I say this here. We don't go behind a banner of free Presbyterianism. We go behind the banner of the cross and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's far too much of this here label-ism. People, we need to be in the place of prayer. We're looking many, many different... Do you? I don't have to look at... Up to myself, you know, if my people humble themselves, come to the place of, if you're saved, you should be in the prayer meeting. There's no excuse. Where is your altar at home? Are you praying at home as you are in the prayer meeting? Are you reading and studying your Bible? Now, I've got two brain cells and they sometimes fall out, but one of them, I'm not the brightest of sparks. And you see, learning the things of the Bible. And I said, I'll read my Bible. I've been doing this for years. And I want to give you a wee bit of encouragement. If I can learn things from the Bible, I tell you, the way it's taught, can learn it, I can tell you now. You see the wee things that the Lord has given me, I thought they're powerful. They're marvelous. Huge. But you know something? Read your Bible. There's a few things I want to tell you about. And it was one of the first blessings of the Lord. Like, I've been studying the Bible. I was reading the Bible for years upon end. And one of the first things I said, I think it's Genesis 13. Genesis 13. And I want you to go down to verse 18. I've been reading for years, I've been blessed, but you see the outpouring of God's mercy and grace upon your life. You strive and you read your Bible like your life depended on it, because your spiritual life does. What way are you living your life towards God? Are you living for yourself? When you get up in the morning, are you praying to God? Are you reading it? Or is it happening from one week to the next? So it's Genesis chapter 13, verse 18. I don't hear no more rustling, so hopefully you've all found it. And then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and he built there an altar unto God. Now, it doesn't look like much, but one thing I love is in the places where Abram went on for to build his altar, for to bless God and for to hear things of the Lord. I would love to actually tell you about that there, but that's... maybe for another time or for the reference salt. But let's see how this verse, when you study it, this was one of the first things that really, really opened up the gospel and the Bible to my mind. If you look there, you'll see, and he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron. Now you look at that there and you go, what on earth same places? At the start, I can hardly pronounce them. Let's put it like that. Mamre and Hebron. But we see what God renews his covenant, just in case you're wondering about this part of the chapter, he renews his covenant. And this is the blessing of what God has given Abram. Where does he bring him to? He brings him for to build an altar. That is given worship and praying unto God. But Mamre, which is in Hebron, do you know what that, when you gel those together and you look into your concordances, if you don't have your concordances, it's just lying on them, get them out. Start reading them. Praying to God that'll open them up, your what do you call it? Mamre and Hebron, a place of fatness, of fellowship before God. Isn't that powerful? Hey, look at that there, and you see the blessing that Abram was given from God as he renews his covenant. And where does he bring him? He brings him to a plain, an open place. And what is in that open place? A place of fatness, of fellowship with the Lord. So you see what it is? Don't just read your Bible. First of all, pray. Read your Bible. Pray. Study. Read your Bible. And I tell you, the blessings will come down like you never believe it. Some people say, what's your favourite verse? I'll tell you, the next one that the Lord's going to give me. Is it going to be tomorrow morning? Are you going to wait till tomorrow? Maybe it's going to be tonight. You see, over this past while, I kind of laughed at the wife. She moved the bookshelf. So she said, I haven't been reading. I'm not able to read. Or maybe I just didn't pull my finger out on read. Maybe that's the thing. In fact, that probably is the way of it. But the Lord has blessed my heart in actually reading and studying on what I'm getting out of the Bible. Now, there's some people that can perk you up. Maybe you're down and hard. Now, there's some people that can't see your heart. But you see, when you get a word from God, I don't care who or what you are, it is absolutely amazing. You can live on it for weeks. You see this here, I was going to go, ear to ear, because the Lord had given me something. I fought for 18 years trying to read the Bible. This past 3 years, I've been blessed of the Lord. Praise to His name, not of me. He seemed fit for to bless me with reading the Bible, as I should have been pulling my finger out doing years ago. Do you know, so I wonder if you like that there, you've been reading your Bible. How do I know that you're walking with the Lord? How do I know? Because when I talk about you, you want to talk about the things of the Lord. And not in an ignorant manner, eh? I think of some of the things in Robert Murray McShea. Some of the ways for the story. It's kind of funny. It kind of perked me up a wee bit. 2 years. Many times you're dying in heart. I think about my father many times as he passed away. It broke my heart. So it didn't when that passed away. Because he was a crack. And he was the one that kept me going with a sense of humour. But it hit me. I'll not give you the verses because I've overspent my time, but what was spoke on to me, I'll tell you, I'll tell you about it now. You see, if a man or woman would have said this to me, I would near broke their jaw. I'll tell you what was told to me in a loving way from the Lord, and it was only the Lord that could speak to me in this loving, kind way. George, you think of your fa, morn and noon and night. George, I'm the Lord. How much do you think of me? I think of my father more than any night. But how much do you think of my Saviour? That's how much I should be putting the Lord before in my thoughts of even my father. My friend, what are you putting in front of the thoughts? Saviour and the Bible. And you're speaking to your friend, your text message morning, noon and night. How much are you talking to God? A friend can maybe perk you up. You see what the Lord can pick you up. There's far too many people not reaching out in faith to their God. And we look at what our country is doing. And we're seeing that they're turning their back on the things of God. Do you know what the things is in my heart is? A fear of what the Lord is going to do to our wee country. But we see what Moses did. Even in the time, this is what I think of Northern Ireland at the minute. You think of even when Moses was coming down from giving the law. What did he come to? Just after giving the law. And if you were to read that there, that was powerful. I never even seen it before. Do you know when the children of Israel were looking up, there was thunderings and there was lightnings. Can you imagine seeing that there? I was scared the life out of me before. They knew that God was moving on that mountain. The law of God was coming down. Even the received a load of laws. What did it do when it come down? Aaron and all of the rest of them got all of the earrings down and they were giving worship to an evil and wicked God. People, you should know better. But these things are for our instruction. Moses went on and he disciplined. But don't give discipline with an ignorant heart. Give it with softness and tenderness that the Lord may move in our people and even my heart and your hearts. Give us a faith. Have us to be taught more by faith and less by sight. Do you know something? Even as Moses did give out that discipline, do you know what he did straight after that? After he gave out the discipline, he went and he prayed for them. Do you know something? I've been in meetings and people come up and they want to get up my goat in the meeting. Their thoughts should be in the things of God. What is in your heart? Is it the things of God? If you have it, you have the love of God. See, before anything, you have the love of God. If you're going to pray, you have the love of God. If there's anything in your heart that shouldn't be there and it's removing you from getting your blessing from God, remove it. What idols clings to you or you to live? Remove it so that you only have the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll just move you to one more and I'll kind of finish off, and that's Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. And this is a thing that was taught unto me. I've kind of had I'll say a good year. I'll tell you what I mean by that there in the Old Bible when your pages start flirting over. That's Genesis chapter 40. We're going to start at verse 5. Genesis chapter 40 and verse 5. When I was last year, first Thursday in January, I broke my leg, leg in a load of places, and my ankle and all of the rest of it. And the Lord has given me blessed times through reading His Word. But even in the hospital, under morphine and all of that, I was getting blessed times. People were dying hard because of some of the things that were happening, but you should see how the Lord can uplift your heart in times of trouble. It is absolutely amazing. And one of the encouragement ones was this here. And they dreamed a dream. You know about this. Here's this butler and a beggar being in prison and all about the dreams and all of the rest of it, and Joseph in the scene in jail. Now, if somebody had to be down in heart before Saudi that there is, if there's anybody had to be down in heart, it should have been Joseph. Family didn't like him, they wanted to kill him, they wanted to take him out. There's some people who think you have Bobby or bro or sister or mom or father or whatever it is, what do you call them, wanted to kill Joseph, stuck him in a pit and all the rest, but then stuck him in a pit and sell him and all the rest of it. So when he comes into prison, or into the house, thought he was going to be on death row, because look, we see him here, and he's in prison. So this is where we take it up. So if there was a man to be down, it was Joseph. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker and the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning. There's many people who get stuck up in their own ways. They don't worry about people right beside them. When do you talk? Pray for people in sincerity. Many people not doing that. Bear one another's burdens. Do it. This is what Joseph did. So he wasn't down in heart. He came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them. And behold, they were sad. There's many people going about 200 miles an hour. Having time for to shake their hand. That somebody says out in the country. Take time. That there 2 minutes could be the time that could witness unto somebody that they become born again of the Spirit of God. And he asked Pharaoh's officers up or with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? This is the first point I want to say to you. Not only did he look onto them, he actually asked them, why are ye so sadly? Many people don't bear one another's burdens. But you see, when you look and you break this word down into the old Hebrew, you look down and say, wherefore look ye so sadly? He worried about them with such of a prayerfulness. So he did. So we see the first one. He said, why are you so sad? Next one. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter to it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? I actually remember one of the things that brought my attention to this here was a famous commentator. And he said Joseph done many things, but he didn't witness to God. I don't know how he missed this, but there's plain as day. He's witnessing. So not only does he say, why are ye so sad? He says, do not interpretations belong to God? See, they're coming up and they're looking at interpretations to the dream. Joseph's more or less saying, hey, boy, I can't do no interpretation. God does it, not me. So we see, what's the next one? Tell me them, I pray to you. Not only is he saying, why are ye so sad? Not only is he witnessing about this only God that interprets dreams. He's saying, tell them to me, and he's going to pray for them. Do you know something? These are the things that have been laid in my heart. The Lord has come into my life, such wickedness, but the Lord seemed fit for to save my soul. He seemed fit for to bring me over a closer walk with God. You'll have a calm and a heavenly frame. I can tell you about that there. You see, no matter where there's winds blowing outside, no matter where there's death, even comes to your door. As even the Job 35 says, you give us songs in the night. See, many a time, see that there has special meaning for me. See, when some of the times I had that much pain, I'm not talking about my life, I'm talking about when I broke my leg, Such pain I had to wake in the middle of the night. Sometimes you got 2 hours sleep, sometimes 5 hours sleep, but morphine is a brilliant medication. But you know the other thing that I didn't lay a hold in the middle of the night? You see, I used to wrestle about in bed, and there's one thing about me, I can't wrestle about bed, I have to get up, I can't wrestle about in bed. So I went down, and I came up, and down and up, and this is the way it went on for months on end. Jordy, what about starting to read in the middle of the night? What about praying in the middle of the night? I had such pain. I had no more thinking of the Lord. I had plenty of blessings through the day. But why should I forget the Lord at all in the middle of the night? I should leave everything to the Lord in prayer. Many times I had. You see the blessings on the open that the Lord even had even through the night to me. He gave us songs in the night. Not just encouragements. Gives you songs. Imagine if you see somebody singing, sometimes maybe people do your head in, but imagine giving songs, that lets you know they're chirpy, doesn't it? But be chirpy in the Lord and the power of His strength. These are a few encouraging things that I want to leave to you, but one of the things, don't think you're coming in and out of a meeting and pushing away the things of the Lord. Please, if you don't know the Lord as your own and personal Saviour, please be saved. No man knows when another day may bring forth. In the space of a few days, I heard of a little baby that was 2 hours old that passed away. Broke our hearts. And the day that the wee critter was in the funeral service, there was another family who was heartbroken. 7 months. It's a few months old that the lady took a miscarriage. I heard a few old mates, one at 88, Eric passed away. Len Turkington passed away. Johnny Hillis passed away. My friend, is your name going to be next? Are you ready? If you're here tonight, this might be your last opportunity. If you're not walking with the Lord, maybe you're a backslider. Are you reading your Bible? I pray you go back to those things. The Lord will give you a big full truck. So he'll give you mighty things for the youth. And you'll be blessed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're dying in heart, born again Christian. Pray for your ministers. Pray for your elders, your committee men. The people you don't lack, you pray for them the most. I tell you need to be broken if you're prayed. That's what people need to do nowadays. Pray for your enemy so that they may become born again of the Spirit of God. Pray for Muslims. Pray for Protestants. Pray for Roman Catholics. Pray for revival even amongst our own people. I'll ask the Lord to bless these few words to His glory. Amen.